Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ben.
I'm Noel.
And today we are delving into, you know, even for us, this is a weird one, Noel.
What show is this?
This is Ridiculous Sisters.
Oh, cool. Oh, I'm in the right place.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All yeah, right. Yeah. Cool. Well, we have a bumper that plays, right?
But we don't hear it. That's a little peek behind the curtain. Like, yeah. That's added in post. So, you know, sometimes I get a little confused as to, you know.
Why are we in this room?
It's a little early today, too, if we're being real. We are talking about some cool stuff today, but I want to just preface by asking you, Ben, have you ever snuggled a baby hippo?
I have not, and I would be hesitant to do so because in their natural environment, a hippopotamus will be one of the most dangerous animals on the planet. I think it's the number one most dangerous animal in terms of deaths per year on the African continent.
Yeah, and it's because they aren't predisposed to kill, but they are intensely territorial and they can charge on land. On foot, up to 18 miles per hour. And like you said, they are apparently responsible for more human deaths in Africa than any other animal. Wild animal, that is.
Yeah, and especially when they become sexually active. That's when a lot of the, possessive, territory-oriented behavior begins.
But my point really is that the baby hippos are crazy cute.
Oh, yeah.
They're little weird, like, you know, butterball, slime ball, you know, mutant things. And I want one very much.
Have you snuggled one in
real life? No, I have not. I have in my dreams.
There were some people, there was a couple, I believe, who had they raised a hippo from a juvenile age. And then when it was large, they lived near a river in Africa. And when it was large and full grown, it would still like go to the river and then just come into their house, and it looked very cute, but the reality of life with a hippo is way different from those graceful ballet dancers you see in Fantasia.
A reality apparently lost to a certain drug lord by the name of Pablo Escobar, who thought it would be pretty cool to have a menagerie of exotic creatures. Things like what did he have?
Oh, he had enough to, I believe he began a zoo. He had hippos, he had ostriches, he had
giraffes.
Lions, he had giraffes as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Pablo Escobar, of course, is the notorious drug baron from the 1970s and 80s based in Colombia. And once upon a time, he was responsible for the majority of the world's cocaine. Like 80% of it.
That's a claim to fame right there.
And he got to the point where he was almost like a state power. A lot of local people thought he was great because he was building infrastructure, he was providing job security. He also was behind thousands of bombings and assassinations. And I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the excellent Netflix show Narcos.
Yeah, it is pretty solid show. I'm actually not up to date on it, but season one kind of covers up through some of the real manipulative behavior that he would do involving the government and going further even than bribing to literally assassinating government officials that didn't want to play ball with him. And no spoilers in this story, even though it's real life. I don't think you're allowed to consider that spoilers, but it is, you know, there's a television show involved. So you know how I feel about this. I try to keep my hands clean.
Sure.
As far as spoilers are concerned, but we're here to talk about a very specific aspect of the opulent existence of Pablo Escobar. Like you said, he was beloved by many who possibly there's a conflagration of love and utter terror and fear.
It's an abusive relationship.
Yeah, it does seem so. But, a lot of the poorer people in Medellin revered him almost as a saint. He was referred to as Saint Pablo by many. And there, you know, were these kind of deified drawings, like you'd see images of various saints. Mm-hmm. Those kind of images that you see printed on candles that are supposed to cleanse your home and things like that. Ooh. There are even like these narco saints that there are tons of different ones. And he was considered one of them, a living saint, as it were. And it's because he was very benevolent to the people that lived around him in Medin or in that area. And one of the ways that he bestowed this benevolence upon them was by creating a public zoo that right. people could just come and roam free in.
Now, Pablo Escobar was shot in 1993. He was killed in a gunfight. But before then, especially in the early 80s, it was a golden age for, as Noel said, this living narco saint. In his palatial home, Hacienda Napoles, this halfway between Medellin and Bogota, the stuff he built would put Michael Jackson and Donald Trump to shame. They would feel like they were living in the poorhouse. Yeah, he built a private bull ring, these gigantic dinosaur sculptures,
which are awesome, and they're really weird looking too. They're very cartoonish and just massive. I think he built them specifically for his kids.
Mm-hmm. And he built an airport, and he had the zoo, a public zoo full of smuggled animals. And we named some of those animals. He also, if you're going to have a decent zoo, you got to have some hippos, right? He smuggled 4 hippopotamuses, 3 females, and a male who became known as El Viejo, the old one. And he smuggled them from California in the 80s. As you pointed out, the locals love this. We get a free public zoo. If you were a local person living at the time, the entire Escobar operation was trying to appear benevolent, unless you were also trying to sell cocaine or attempting to stop them from selling cocaine or, again, angered Pablo Escobar in any way. When the Colombian government took over the hacienda in the early 90s, right, Escobar's zoo was split up and it was shipped off to other legal zoos, with one notable exception, or 4 notable exceptions, the hippos, right? Lest we think that these animal wranglers were lazy or uninterested, let's consider the problem of the hippopotamus. We're talking about a 4.5 tons creature, a 4.5 ton creature that can, you know, get an attitude. Hippos are herbivorous, but they are aggressive. And the name actually comes from river horse. Have you heard about that?
Is it sort of like that movie, The Water Horse, with the Loch Ness Monster thing?
I haven't seen that.
I haven't either. But it's kind of like a hippo.
I guess. Is it in the water?
But I think it's a little bit more fully submersible, and it can swim. It's also a fantasy creature. It's not really. Okay. You know what? It does remind me of the hippo. Have you seen that movie Okja on Netflix?
Yeah.
With the super pig.
It's a Korean film, right?
It's a Korean film. Yeah. Very hippopotamus.
I thought the same thing. In Okja, the animal. I think it is a pig, right? Mm-hmm. Genetically based on a pig, and it's huge. In real life, the hippo is the 3rd largest land mammal on Earth. And even though they look like pigs, one thing that's really interesting is their closest living relatives are cetaceans, like whales and dolphins. So they come from a background of water lovers.
Dude, have you looked at the inside of one of these creatures' mouths? It is like looking into the gaping maw of hell. It's foul. It's just rotten teeth and weird textured mouth skin and gums and broken. Oh my gosh. It's just gives me the creeps, but, we digress. So hippos in their natural state, they actually live in a harem, which seems like a loaded term, but it's right. not, because it's sort of got an alpha male and then a group of females and any offspring associated with it. So if another male, for example, approached, you know, any of the females in a harem, there would be hell to pay. There would be some serious charging going on. But after the menagerie was split up and shipped various and sundry parts of the world, the hippopotamuses continue to be an issue because the fence that was meant to, you know, contain these creatures just wasn't nearly sturdy enough. You were saying, I think there were three females, and then we got our old man, the Viejo,
mm-hmm.
El Viejo, is that right? So, you know, all they have to do in this environment is basically hang around, and get busy, you know, make some serious hippo love. And this is pretty cool. It turns out that in their native habitat in Africa, hippos can become sexually active between the ages of 7 and 9 for males, and then 9 and 11 for lady hippos. And Pablos were becoming sexually active as young as 3 years old because they were just pretty happy. They were in this pond. You know, the environment was right for them. The climate was right. They didn't really have any natural predators to be concerned about. They're just chilling in this pond. And so hippo sex was rampant. Mm-hmm. And fertile females can give birth to a single calf every year. And this is like a 30-year issue we're talking about here, right? Like 2007, I think, was when we started really hearing the locals reporting issues with the hippos that we're going to get into in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd been kicking it there since the 80s, right?
Yeah, they've been kicking it there since they were imported in the 80s, and there were just 4 of them. Now there could be as many as an estimated 50, which makes me wonder about the viability of the genetic diversity in the population.
Totally.
But, with the exception of one bull hippo named Pepe, who was killed by Colombian soldiers in 2009, with that exception, these hippos are pretty much thriving most of the time.
So Pepe would have been son of the old one?
Yeah, Pepe would have been son of the old one.
That would be a great superlative, like Pepe, son of the old one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It sounds like there's a story there.
It should be.
Well, there will be more stories to continue.
Do you think Pepe was racist?
No, I think he was probably more just pro-hippo and pro-harem and anti-most other things except for water and food.
Fair enough.
This seems like a hippo attitude. As I was saying, their population is continuing to grow. They're thriving. We're talking 6% a year. And with the fact that they are maturing at a younger age and reproducing, I almost said reproducing. That sounds a little BBC.
Yeah.
They're reproducing at a significantly younger age. And this means that they will inevitably impact the ecosystem. In their native ecosystem, all right, let's just be honest. We're all adults here, right? In their native ecosystem, their feces is extremely important to wildlife in the river. Fish and insects love hippo poop. They live off of it. They are in it and of it. It's their favorite thing. But this means that in this new ecosystem in Colombia, scientists are becoming concerned that the rivers will get too clogged with all this hippo poop.
Yeah, I found this National Geographic article about the whole ecosystem nightmare that is the Pablo Escobar hippo harem. And it turns out that with this abundance of waste, overabundance of waste in the water, it can cause all kinds of problems, including algae blooms, I guess, and other dangerous microorganisms that can flourish. Mm-hmm. So you end up with things like, massive fish kills and the like, and especially when there's higher temperatures and, like you said, lower oxygen levels that can wreak all kinds of havoc on an ecosystem. So it's like, you know, hippos aren't native to Colombia, and now we have 50 plus of them running rampant. And there's also the issue of the locals not really appreciating the danger involved in these creatures, because they look like, you know, they're huge, but you know, to the average person, they do kind of look docile. They don't seem like they're angry. They're more or less cute, even the big ones.
And I think another dangerous thing about them is that they don't seem like they would charge. They're deceptively fast over a short distance. You know what I mean? And all you have to see, all you have to do is watch it yawn once. And you get an idea of the potential. This problem is exacerbated because these days, the old Hacienda is a theme park. It's about 3 hours from Medellin, and it has a water park, a zoo, animal-themed attractions. They have events. You know, they're trying to make some lemonade out of lemons, historically speaking. But the hippos are still there. There are models of hippos. You know, they've got statues. I think the dinosaurs are still there, but they also have, you know, concrete statues of hippos, which have become sort of famous locally and, in this case, internationally. And it brings us to this larger question, too. I don't want to derail us too much here, but there are numerous examples of invasive animal populations that have just been left to thrive because the new ecosystem they're in resembles their native ecosystem close enough for government work to the point where they can thrive. Another example would be camels in Australia. You heard about this, right?
No, no.
There are like 300,000 feral camels just walking around Australia.
And it's like crazy because you think about feral cats and that seems pretty manageable. But like even in my neighborhood in Atlanta, like we have a feral cat problem. But compared to a feral hippo problem, I would say that is a pretty benign issue. You know, I mean, the worst you're going to get is they're going to be like kind of crowding around your feet as you're walking into a gas station or something like that. You know, I can't imagine just being approached by a feral hippo. But like I was saying, too, that there's an issue here, too, because like the locals in Medellin, in this area near the resort, I guess it's call it at this point the theme park, you know, Casa de Escobar, folks don't really have a sense of urgency in like seeing these creatures. It's kind of like just sort of an anomaly and sort of an odd, like, what the heck is that? And in fact, in this BBC article on the subject, I read a really interesting account where a child spoke to a local newspaper in Colombia, the El Colombiano, and apparently children near the Hacienda Napolis actually took home a baby hippo calf.
Oh, wow.
And here's the quote from BBC. Quote, "My father brought a little one home once. I called him Luna because he was very sweet. We just fed him milk." And then another child told the paper, "My father has captured three. It's nice because you have a little animal at home. We bottle feed them because they only drink milk. They have slippery skin. You pour water and they produce a kind of slime. You touch them and it's like soap." Isn't that charming?
That is charming.
Yet terrifying, because what happens if one of the bull hippos sees a little school kid making off with their baby?
What happens if any kid, any human child is around an adult hippo? The risks are there. It's not to quote a deep cut movie, but Noel, that's a clear and present danger.
Was that Harrison Ford?
I believe so. I believe so.
That movie really bored me when I was a kid.
I don't want to bet the farm on it. I mainly remember the
No, title. It was right around that time when he was doing all those political thrillers. Like there was that one, and then there was the one where he's like, "Get off my plane," where he's like the president.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was that? Air Force One?
Was it Air Force One?
I think it was Air Force
that
One.
Makes sense.
A little on the nose. But, you know, there are some potential solutions being discussed, and they range from the, yeah, okay, to the ridiculous, and this is ridiculous history, so I guess we better, you know, maybe start with the ridiculous. Should we go, you know, backwards, ridiculous
to
more reasonable?
Yeah. Let's do pros and cons.
Yeah, I think that's smart. I think that's smart. So in this BBC article that from the BBC World Service by William Creamer, there is an interview with a gentleman named David Acheverry, who's from a local wildlife official from the area. And, he offers ideas ranging from building a reserve, with, you know, proper hippo fences, because obviously the original fences did not do the job. But he says it would, you know, cost in excess of $500,000. This is a pretty poor area. That's not chump change. It's kind of a big deal to deal with the remnants of the opulent Escobar's bizarre, you know, pretty selfish, if we're being honest, lifestyle. Okay. You know, not really thinking ahead here, Mr. Escobar, right?
So pro, it removes this hippo population from the local human population. Con, it's expensive, and I get the feeling that's just the entry price, not counting maintenance.
Exactly.
Con, again, and since these hippos are already very well known in the local and global arena, there would also have to be paid dedicated staff to prevent people from messing with the hippos. It's not a perfect thing. It's not a perfect proposal, but it's you got to do something, right? One of the things that's not an option is doing nothing. They're aggressive. They're territorial. They're breeding. I know there's, you know, another possibility where we say, well, we have environmentalists working at the scene. There are charities who are concerned. Why can they not simply transport the hippos, right?
Well, they're giant. It's hard.
It's very expensive.
It's also costly. And we don't know how many there even are, right? There's, you know, what if they miss a single male? Then it's like game over. It's like starting over again. Might not happen overnight, obviously, but before you know it, you're going to be back up to your ears and hippos.
Mm-hmm. And even if we could, even if someone took upon themselves the cost of transporting these massive animals to a native region, right? What they're going to find is that there's a very real likelihood that they could transmit unfamiliar diseases to native hippos, and then boom, we've lost all of the hippos.
Yeah.
Possibly. That's not probable, but it's possible.
No, it's a very real concern. I know I promised to go from ridiculous to sensible, and I think I did not deliver on that. I think I started with sensible. So let's do the opposite extreme.
Okay.
Since we promised some ridiculousness.
Since you did.
I did. You're right. You're right. I can only speak for myself here. Another local wildlife authority suggested, let's just kill them all and barbecue them. And feast on their flesh.
That is the quote. I think they should barbecue them and eat them, says Patricio von Hildebrand, right?
And apparently this came from a situation where one of the hippos was accidentally electrocuted to death on a poorly calibrated electric fence, shall we say, and the locals came around, chopped up the carcass, and barbecued him. And apparently hippo tastes a lot like pork, which makes sense considering their pig-like appearance.
Yeah, I would be hesitant to eat it. And this is something that comes up. Another biologist had said that this meat, regardless of how you prepare it, may again have some sort of unexpected disease, right? Possibly something that could cause meningitis, but there's another solution or another proposed solution, and that's the idea that we just get rid of all the males, you know, like Herod in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Like we were saying earlier, though, that's tricky because, you know, what if one of them holds up somewhere? They're on the lam and, you know, you miss one and then, you know, it was a wasted effort, right?
Yeah, like you said, square one or back to hippo zero.
Hippo zero. And then there's the, the castration idea, which is, you know, a little squiggy, but let's go into it.
Okay, sure. So if we want to be humane, right, then instead of eliminating this breeding possibility by eliminating all the males, we have kicked around the idea. We as a species, not just
me and you.
Yeah, not just us.
So we're going to handle the hippo problem.
Right.
Head on.
That's the first thing you said to me this morning, right? Ben, it's time to handle the hippo problem. You and I are actually leaving after recording this to go to Colombia for something different, but I think we'll do the hippo thing on the way.
Sure.
The problem is that hippos, aside from being big, aside from being aggressive, there's a real danger if we try to conduct that kind of neutering operation on them, right? We don't know when they'll get back up.
Yeah, because hippos, as it turns out, despite their massive stature, are pretty dainty and delicate when it comes to chemicals. And in order to perform these procedures, these creatures would have to be anesthetized, and it could potentially kill them.
Right. And this would end up, you know, this would be a situation where with the best of intentions, they just ended up killing all the male hippos. The other problem here is that regionally, a lot of the locals have kind of taken this on as a local mascot, a thing they're proud of, you know, and there was one hippo that was castrated, that was successfully castrated, and people hated it. They were saying, oh, why do you have to castrate this hippo?
That's Steve.
Yeah, let Steve be. Castrate the politicians. That was the idea.
That's a really good bumper sticker.
Let Steve be or castrate politicians?
Both.
Like
we'll,
the whole...
We'll split them up. No, it can be two different ones.
Okay, because, you know, depending on the car, we got to know where the stickers go.
I hate bumper stickers. I just got a new car today, by the way. No bumper sticker shall graze this vehicle.
I'm not a bumper sticker guy either.
Let us know how you feel about bumper stickers.
And as we end the episode today, it's true. The hippos are still out there. And also feral camels in Australia.
But there is a ray of sunshine in the story. It has a handful of rays. It's a pretty interesting story. Nobody's been hurt or killed by any of these hippos to date that we have discovered in looking into this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe I think the biggest concern is probably the danger to the ecosystem and, you know, potentially a little kid getting squashed because, you know, he or she is trying to take home a cute, cute, sweet, slippery, soapy baby. Mm-hmm. Hippo calf.
The World Wildlife Foundation does call the situation a ticking time bomb.
Okay.
Because depending on their rate of reproduction, if there is nothing done, then eventually, yes, it will turn violent and innocent humans could be harmed or killed. However, there is an opportunity, I think. There is an opportunity to create some rays of sunshine from this. As you said, you know, what if there were a safe place, right, where the hippos would be guarded, allowed to live their hippo lives.
A hippo haven, if you will.
A hippo haven, I do. Let's have a place like that where people can observe them from a distance and help support, you know, the associated cost and not accidentally find one in a river. You know, it's sort of – it reminds me of the idea of the old question of what's the scariest thing to see in the woods if you're camping.
And Sasquatch.
If you can find one, right? The world champions of hide and seek. There's – one of the answers is a bear cub because the mother is somewhere.
Totally.
And you don't know where.
Or a Sasquatch cub.
Or a Sasquatch – a Sasquub. Mm-hmm. Sasquub. It's tough to say, but it's worth it.
It's a lot of fun. Well, I think, that does it for Escobar and his hippo harem. Yeah.
Yes. Thus ends our episode on Pablo Escobar's hippo haven.
That's better. No, the haven is coming. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully the hippo haven is on the way. This does not, however, end our show. We'll be back very soon with something bizarre, something weird, something, dare I say, ridiculous.
You don't have to.
Well, it's out there now.
Okay.
In the meantime, we'd love to hear from you. Have you visited Colombia? Have you, by any chance, happened to see the Hacienda yourself? And also, what was the one we asked earlier? What do you think of bumper stickers?
That's the burning question, really, that we were left with today. That's my takeaway, anyway. But you can do all that stuff if you want. You can email us at, ridiculous@howstuffworks.com.
That's us. And you can find us at all the other various social medias. I think in an earlier episode, if I recall correctly, we were still speculating on a Pinterest.
Yeah, I'm not about that Pinterest life.
Well, we'll put a pin in that for now.
Ooh.
I know. They're not all going to be great. They're not all going to be home runs.
So write us. Send us your thoughts, your dreams, your nightmares. And, you know, if you have an idea for an episode, we'd love to hear that, too. And we'll catch you next time on Ridiculous History.